Points number 8, 9 and 10. Or even more, 8, 9, 10 and 11 and 12. وَلَا يَكُونُ إِلَّا مَا يُرِيدُ لَا تَبْلُغُهُ الْأَوْهَامُ وَلَا تُدْرِكُهُ الْأَفْهَامُ وَلَا يُشْبِهُ الْأَنَامُ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتُ قَيُّومٌ لَا يَنَامُ. The saying of the author with regard to Allah the Most High: nothing occurs except what He wills, and He is not reached by people's conjecture, nor can He be grasped by their understanding, and nor does He resemble the creation. He is the ever-living one who does not die, the independent sustainer of everything, who does not sleep. Then from next week, inshallah, with regard to the questions, then we'll ask also who's memorized the text as well. So beginning from next week, inshallah, who has memorized the text so far, we'll start asking that as well, inshallah. Because the points, as we know, as we can see, are very brief anyway, so they should be easy to learn, inshallah. And with regard to what we had last week, who can remember regarding the point, وَلَا يَكُونُ إِلَّا مَا يُرِيدُ, nothing occurs except what Allah wills. Which irada does this refer to? Which will of Allah does this refer to? That nothing occurs except what He wills. Yeah. I mean referring to Allah's universal will. Al-irada al-kawniyya. Which is what? What is the universal will? Al-irada al-kawniyya. What does that mean? Everybody put their hands up for the first question. What does it mean? Some volunteers? Or victims? No.
It means that nothing can occur in the universe, yeah, in the creation, except for His will. It doesn't necessarily imply that He wishes it, that He is pleased with it to occur.
Yeah. I mean, whatever Allah has willed will actually occur in the creation, from good or evil. That must definitely occur. Whatever Allah wills by His universal will, His irada al-kawniyya, that means whatever will occur in the creation, from good or evil, Allah has willed that, and it must certainly occur. Secondly, we had the point with regard to the levels of pre-decree. The levels of pre-decree that must be affirmed, the four levels of pre-decree. If a person wants to correctly affirm and believe in pre-decree, he must affirm four levels of the pre-decree, al-qadr. Who can remember the four levels of pre-decree? Yeah, as the brother mentioned, then it is al-ilm, Allah's knowledge of everything that was going to be, His kitabah, His writing it down in the preserved tablet, His mashi'ah, His willing it to occur, and His khalq, is creating it. We also had a point that there are two deviant groups at opposite extremes who deviated with regard to pre-decree. Who were the two groups who deviated and took opposite positions of deviation with regard to pre-decree? The Qadariya and the Jabariya. The Qadariya, those who denied pre-decree, and at the opposite extreme, the Jabariya, those who say that a man is not free to do his actions, Allah forces him, so a man is compelled upon his actions, just like a feather is blown by the wind, whichever way it goes. He's got no free will, no choice of his own. Do we say that Allah's creation of Iblis is something evil? Is it correct to say that Allah's creation of Iblis is something evil? Walaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Yeah, we say that as for Iblis himself, then he is evil, is totally evil. But as for the creation of Iblis, And Allah's having created Iblis, then no, that is not evil. Allah, because Allah created him, as the brother mentioned, for a tremendous purpose, which is, we had as well. Yeah. That he should be a trial and a test for the servants. That who will obey Iblis and disobey Allah, or who will obey Allah and disobey Iblis. And then, therefore, reward those who are obedient. Allah should then reward those who are obedient to him, to Allah, and punish those who obey shaitan and disobey Allah. We also had a point that Sheikh Yahya brought while he was here with regard to which will of Allah should we busy and occupy ourselves with regard to? Allah's universal will or Allah's legislational will? Which should we be preoccupied, we should occupy ourselves with? Yeah. Allah's legislational will, that which Allah has legislated, that which Allah has commanded, that which Allah loves, that is what we should busy ourselves with. Because that is why Allah has created the creation, so that they should worship him, doing that which he has commanded, avoiding that which he has forbidden. We also had a point that the reason for the deviation of the Qadariyah, Sheikh Yahya gave a reason why the Qadariyah went astray. What was the reason? What's behind their deviation? Connected to al-irada, Allah's will. Because it's important, obviously, that we know where the deviant sects went astray, where and why and how they went astray, and so that we avoid that by Allah's permission. You can remember the Shaykh Yahya, Hafidhullah, he mentioned the reason for the deviation of the Qadariyah was because they don't do something. They mess up on some point. And they fail to do what? No. As the brother mentioned, it's because they fail to distinguish between Allah's legislational will and Allah's creational will. They don't make a distinction there. So they end up messing up. And the people who distinguish that is the people of the Sunnah. So therefore they don't end up in problems in this matter. They don't think like the Qadariyah that therefore there are things that happen in the creation, evils in the creation that happen outside Allah's will altogether. And they don't think like the Jabariyah that whatever happens, people are forced to do it, whether it's good or bad. People have got no choice. They don't think either of these. Because the people of the Sunnah distinguish between Allah's universal will, al-irada al-kawniya, and Allah's legislational will, al-irada shar'iyya, which corresponds with Allah, that which Allah loves and is pleased with and has commanded. We also had a point with regard to nawm, sleep, being negated for Allah, and even that which leads to sleep, tiredness or slumber, as sinner, that both these are negated for Allah. Is this just a point of pure negation? Is it just two things which we just deny for Allah, which we negate for Allah, and that's the end of it? Or is there more to it than that? Is there something that we affirm along with that? In other words, why is sleep negated for Allah? And why is drowsiness negated for Allah?
Yeah,
one point is that sleep is not befitting for Allah, but there's something else as well, another reason as well. Is it just a pure negation? Does it just mean that these are two things we have to negate for Allah, and that's the end of the matter? Or
there's also a weakness in man because he needs to sleep.
Is that correct? As the brother mentioned, the answers were correct from the brothers, but there's something more here, the principle that we've mentioned a few times, that in negating those two things, they are negated because we affirm the perfect opposite of that for Allah. Because we had the principle that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah made, is that just mere denial and negation, that such and such is denied for Allah, that does not amount to perfection. Just denying, say, Allah is not this, he's not that, he doesn't have this, he doesn't have that. But that doesn't amount to any perfection. Whereas the people of the Sunnah, when they deny and negate something for Allah, It's because they affirm the perfect opposite of that for Allah. So as the brother mentioned, we deny sleep for Allah, just as occurred in Ayatul Kursi. We negate for Allah sleep and drowsiness because we affirm the perfect opposites of that for Allah, which are mentioned in the ayah, that He is Al-Hayy Al-Qayyum. He is the ever-living one who does not sleep. And He is the Qayyum, the sustainer of everything, who does not suffer from tiredness. We also had a point with regard to the relation of the two names, Al-Hayy and Al-Qayyum, to the rest of Allah's names and attributes. What is the point of relation here between the two names, Al-Hayy and Al-Qayyum, and the attributes, and the rest of Allah's names and attributes? The Al-Hayy is a name which contains affirmation of all the rest of the attributes of Allah's self. Allah is the ever-living, He has the attribute of perfect life, that necessitates all the perfect attributes of His self. And His name, Al-Qayyum, the sustainer of all, the independent sustainer of all, it necessitates all Allah's attributes, which are His actions. Then with regard to today's lesson then, then we reach the point. Point number 13. خالقٌ بلا حاجة رازقٌ بلا مؤنة. The point with regard to Allah the Most High, that He is the Creator without any need, Provider without any difficulty. خَالِقٌ بِلَا حَاجَةٌ رَازِقٌ بِلَا مُؤْنَةٌ. Creator without any need, Provider without any difficulty. On this point, Shaykh al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, said, He is the one who created the creation, and He has no need of them. Rather, He created them just so that they should worship Him. Then He gives the ayah as proof. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Surah Dhariyat, the 51st surah, ayah 56. With the explanation, And I did not create jinn and mankind except that they should worship Me alone. So this is a proof of what Shaykh al-Fawzan said, that Allah created the creation and He had no need of them. He didn't create them because He had a need of them at all. Rather, He created them just so that they should worship Him. The explainer, Ibn Abil Izz, he quotes the next two ayahs which come after this one in Surah Dhariyat, ayahs 57 and 58, which further support what At-Tahawi brings here. مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ يُطْعِمُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. So after this first ayah 56 with the explanation, I did not create jinn and mankind except that they should worship Me. And Allah continues with the meaning, I do not want from them any provision, and I do not want that they should feed Me. Indeed, Allah, He is the great provider, the one possessing power, the strong. So these three ayahs are a proof of what Tahawi brings here, is the point that Allah is the creator without any need, the provider without any difficulty. Then back to what Shaykh al-Fawzan said, he continued, mentioned the first ayah, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And I did not create jinn and mankind except that they should worship Me alone. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so He created them not because He had any need of them, that they should aid Him or assist Him or help Him. He, the one free of all imperfections, or that they should defend Him. He only created them so that they should worship him. So that they should establish ibadah of him, that they should worship him. And they, I mean the people, they are the ones who need that worship. Sheikh makes the point as well that Allah created them, not for any need of the creation. Rather, he created them so that they should worship him. And then he makes a further point, and that worship that he created the creation for, Allah doesn't need that worship either. Allah doesn't need that worship. He didn't create them to worship him because he needs them to worship him. Rather, the creation, they need that worship. He said, in order to connect themselves to Allah and to attach themselves to their Lord. So ibadah, worship, is the connection between the person and his Lord. So it draws him closer to Allah. And through it, he attains reward from Allah and recompense. So ibadah, worship, is a need of the creation, and it is not a need of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. Worship is a need of who? Of the creation. The creation need worship. Allah doesn't need it. And he gives an evidence, or he gives two ayahs as evidence. إِن تَكْفُرُوا أَنْتُمْ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ Surah Ibrahim, the 14th surah, ayah 8, with the explanation that if you people disbelieve, if you disbelieve in Allah, you and everybody upon the earth, then Allah is still the independent one who has no need, the one deserving of all praise. So it proves that Allah is independent of the creation, totally independent of the creation. He has no need of them. And if they all disbelieved in him, then it wouldn't harm him at all. Then he quotes the second ayah with that meaning, إِن تَكْفُرُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنْكُمْ Surah Az-Zumar, the 39th surah, ayah 7, with the explanation, and if you people disbelieve in Allah, then Allah has no need of you. Allah is independent of you. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and his saying, the saying of the author, رَازِقٌ بِلَا مُؤْنَةٌ That Allah is the provider without any difficulty. He said, meaning, he is the one who provides all the provision for his servants. And that does not diminish what he has with him. In all the provision that Allah provides for all of the creation, from the start to finish, first to last, providing all of that doesn't diminish what Allah has with him. And in this regard, and I were to give every person whatever he asked for, then that would not diminish anything from what I have, except as a needle would diminish the water of the sea when it's placed in it. If you to enter a needle into the sea and take it out. The hadith reported by Muslim. And back to the explanation of Shaykh al-Fawzan, the next point, point number 14. Mumitun bila makhafa. The point with regard to Allah, the one free of all imperfections. Mumitun bila makhafa. The giver of death without any fear. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning, he causes the living to die when their time spans are completed. Not because he fears them. I mean, Allah doesn't cause the people to die because he becomes afraid of them. Somebody becomes very great or something, so Allah is afraid of him, so Allah therefore causes him to die. No. He causes them to die when their time spans are completed. Not because he has any fear of them. Rather, that is in accordance with his wisdom, his hikmah. He, the perfect and most high. Because the life in this world has an end. And as for the hereafter, then life in the hereafter has no end. So therefore, his causing them to die, Allah's causing the people to die in this world, is not because he fears them, or is not in order so that he can be relieved from them. And even if they all disbelieved in him, then he would not be harmed by their unbelief. The Sheikh is making the point there, is Allah does not cause the people to die because so he can be relieved of them, because so many of them disbelieve in him, so to be relieved from that, therefore he causes the unbelievers to die. No. The Sheikh said, because even if they disbelieved in him, then he, Allah, is not harmed by their unbelief. Rather, they just harm themselves, those who agree with them. And this is where a point where Sheikh Yahya al-Hajuri, Hafidhullah, he made a point here, that he said that the author here at Tahawi, he only ever brings a point here, point number 12, 13, 14, 15, he only ever brings a point as a refutation of someone who has gone astray. He doesn't just make a statement just for the sake of making a statement here or making a point, making the book bigger. He makes a point in order to refute some deviant who has gone astray on that point. So this point here, Mumitun bila makhafa, that Allah is the one who gives death without having any fear. Then Ibn Abd al-Izz makes it clear here that the philosophers, they say that death is not something true and real. Death is just absence. It's absence of life. It's not something in itself. So Ibn Abd al-Izz refutes this. He said, no, death, al-maut, is a characteristic which exists contrary to the philosophers and those who agree with them. And then he gives an evidence from the Qur'an. He said, Allah the Most High said, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Surah Al-Mulk, Surah Tabarak, the 67th Surah, Ayah 2. With the explanation that Allah is the one who created death and life in order to test you, which of you will be best in his deeds. Ibn Abd al-Izz said, and non-existence cannot be described as being created. I mean, if what the philosophers said were correct, that death is just no more life, it's an absence of life, it's not something in itself, he said, then it would not be correct to say that death is created then, because that which doesn't exist is not created. So this ayah is a proof that death is something created. It's a physical thing and it exists. Allah is the one, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتِ. Allah is the one who created death. So the point that At-Tahawi makes here, that Allah is Mumit, Allah is the one who gives death. Death is something true and real. And it's something physical that exists. And he carries on and says, he gives a hadith as well to prove this. And there occurs in the hadith that on the day of resurrection, death will be brought. Al-Maut, death will be brought on the day of resurrection in the form of a black and white ram, and it will be slaughtered in between paradise and the fire. The hadith reported by al-Bukhari and Muslim from a hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu. So again, this hadith shows that death is something true and physical. It's not just a lack of life. Death itself is something physical. And on the day of judgment, Allah will bring it in the form of a ram, which will then be slaughtered and there will be no more death. There will be life for the people of paradise and life for the people of death, and for the people of the fire, and no death after that. And with regard to the next point, point number 15, ba'ithun bila mashaqqatin, and resurrection of you all is just like that of a single soul. As a side point, in explanation of this ayah, the famous Mufassir of the Tabi'een, Mujahid, he said, meaning that Allah says to it, Allah says kun, and it is. Allah says be, and it is. Whether it is something small or a great deal. And whatever Allah creates or resurrects or like, Allah says be, and it is. Doesn't matter to Allah if it's one person or the whole of the creation. That doesn't create any difficulty for Allah. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan quotes the second ayah as evidence. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَبْدَأُ الْخَلْقَ ثُمَّ يُعِيدُهُ وَهُوَ أَهْوَنُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَهُ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Surah Rum, the 30th surah, ayah 27. With the explanation, He, Allah, is the one who begins the creation, who creates initially, and then He repeats the creation. He resurrects them. And that is even easier for Him. And for Him is the highest description in the heavens and the earth. And He is the Almighty, the All-Wise. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so the people of Shirk, they denied the resurrection. They denied the ba'ath. They denied that after the death, Allah will raise those people back to life. They denied it. He said, holding it to be something far-fetched, just as Allah said about them, قَالَ مَنْ يُحْيِي الْعِظَامَ وَهِيَ رَمِيمٌ. Surah Yasin, the 36th surah, ayah 78. That the unbelieving man will say, who will give life to these bones when they are crumbled away? He said, and Allah, the Perfect and Most High, said in response, قُلْ يُحْيِيَ الَّذِي أَنْشَأَهَا أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ أَوْ قُلْ يُحْيِيهَا الَّذِي أَنْشَأَهَا أَوَّلَ. Perfect and Most High. So the one who created them from non-existence, is he not able even more so to bring them back into existence? I mean, Allah created the people from nothing, and they didn't exist at all. So now they existed. And then they died and became bones and crumbled bones. Isn't that even easier for Allah to restore them? When in the beginning He created them from nothing, isn't it even easier now to restore them from the bones and make them living again? The Shaykh said, this is correct in accordance with the people's intellect, but otherwise analogy cannot be made between Allah the Perfect and His creation. So this is just stated as a similitude. وَلَهُ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. And for Him is the highest description. Surah Ar-Rum, same ayah, Surah Ar-Rum, 30th surah, ayah 27. For Him is the highest description. I mean, this matter here is mentioned as a similitude for the people so that they can understand, that people can consider and reflect that they came about from nothing. They were nothing before. They didn't exist at all. And then Allah brought them into existence and created them. Then isn't it even easier then for Allah to create them when they're now bones? They're at least crumbled bones. Will it not be even easier for Allah to recreate them? Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so this is a refutation of the denier. Allah the Most High said, and he quotes another ayah, in refutation of these who deny the resurrection, وَنَسِيَ خَلْقَهُ. Surah Yasin, the 36th surah, ayah 78. And he forgets his creation. This disbelieving man, the one who denies the resurrection, he forgets his own creation. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning, he forgets that in the beginning he was nothing. He did not exist at all. هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. Surah al-Insan, the first ayah. Surah al-Dahr or Surah al-Insan, the first ayah, with the explanation, has there not come upon man a time when he was nothing mentioned? So this ayah goes along with the previous one. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning, this man, he forgets that Allah produced him from non-existence. Then he said, so Allah will indeed gather together these scattered bones. And this Torah, ayah 25, with the explanation, and from Allah's signs is that the heavens and the earth are established by His command. Then when He calls you with a single call, you will come out from the earth. And he quotes one more ayah, ayah 68 from Surah Az-Zumar, the 39th surah, ayah 68. وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَصَعِقَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَصَعِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ نُفِخَ فِيهِ أُخْرَى فَإِذَا هُمْ قِيَامٌ يَنْظُرُونَ. The ayah with the explanation, and then the horn will be blown, and whoever is in the heavens and whoever is upon the earth will faint and die, except whomever Allah wishes. And then it will be blown again, and they will be standing up, looking on. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, the second blowing is the blowing for the resurrection. And as for the first blowing of the horn, it is the blowing for the people to swoon and die, to faint and die. So the first blowing of the horn will be for the people to faint and die, and the second will be for them to be resurrected. وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَإِذَا هُمْ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَنْسِلُونَ قَالُوا يَا وَيْلَنَا مَنْ بَعَثَنَا مِنْ مَرْقَدِنَا هَذَا مَا وَعَدَ الرَّحْمَنُ وَصَدَقَ الْمُرْسَلُونَ. Surah Yasin, the 36th surah, ayahs 51 to 52, with the explanation, and the horn will be blown, and then the people will come out from their graves, going quickly to their Lord. The unbeliever will say, who has taken us out from our place of sleep? And the believer will respond, this is what the Most Merciful promised. And the messenger spoke the truth. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so Allah indeed has power and ability over everything. And this contains a refutation of the unbelievers, those who say that Allah is unable to give life to the dead and to return them to life. And he quotes the ayah again, another ayah. Allah the Most High said, أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَنْ لَنْ نَجْمَعَ عِذَامَهُ بَلَا قَادِرِينَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ نُسَوِّيَ بَنَانَهُ. Surah Al-Qiyamah, the 75th surah, ayahs 3 and 4. With the explanation, does man think that we will not gather his bones together? Indeed, we are fully able even to put his fingertips together. And he quotes the ayah, يَوْمَ يَخْرُجُونَ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ سِرَاعًا كَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ نُصُبٍ يُوفِذُونَ. Surah Al-Ma'arij, the 70th surah, ayah 43. With the explanation, on that day, the day of resurrection, they will come out from the graves, hurrying, as if they are racing to a finishing post. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so this is the power of Allah and His will and His wish. Nothing causes him to be incapable. Nothing makes him incapable. However, it is just that some of the people, some of the creation, they draw analogy between Allah and His creation. And so therefore they hold that it's far-fetched that there will be any resurrection, because the person thinks in his view that's something impossible. And he doesn't look to the power of Allah. And he doesn't give due worth to Allah. He doesn't judge Allah's power as he deserves. And this is a case of ignorance with regard to Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. from the people, the unbelievers, from their sheikh. That's where the sheikh finishes. I mean, the unbelievers, they look and they see there are scattered bones on the earth. How can these ever be brought back together? I think it's impossible to put these back together. There never can be a resurrection. So they're forgetting Allah's power. Allah's power over everything. So that's where we'll end for today. And the next time, inshallah, we'll start with point number 16. As we said, we'll ask questions on the text as usual, inshallah, and we'll also ask who has memorized the text so far. And just very briefly, we'll give, as a brother advised, we'll give a quick summary of what we had today. Firstly, we had that Allah created the creation without any need of them. Rather, He created them so that they should worship Him alone. And He has no need of that worship either. Rather, they need it. And the evidence for that is Surah Al-Dhariyat, the 51st surah, ayahs 56 to 58. Second point, obviously I'm just summarizing, taking some points, not everything we've had, go through the whole lesson again, just taking some points out, some of the main points that we had. Second point is that Allah provides for the whole of the creation. And that is not something difficult for Him. And is providing for the whole of the creation throughout time. It does not diminish what He has with Him. And the evidence is the Hadith Qudsi of Abu Dharr. Hadith reported by a Muslim. Thirdly, that Allah causes the creation to die. Not because He has fear of them. Not because He wants to relieve Himself of them and of their unbelief. And by their unbelief, they don't harm Him. Rather, they harm only themselves. But rather, Allah causes them to die in accordance with His wisdom. Because this world is going to finish and end. Whereas the next world will not end. Fourthly, we had the point that death is something real. It's not just an absence. It's not just an absence of life. Death is something real and in existence. And the ayah was given as evidence. Ayah from Surah Al-Mulk. خَلَقَ الْمَوْتِ. That Allah created death. So that proves that death is something created, something in existence. Fifthly, that Allah will resurrect the people after they have died and passed away. That the people will indeed be resurrected. And this is something easy for Allah. Just as it was easy for Him to create them from nothing in the first place. And neither this nor anything else causes Allah to be incapable. And we had a brief mention of the two blowings of the sur, of the horn that's held by the angel. The two blowings of that horn, there will be a blowing, and nafkhatul ula, the first blowing of the horn, which will mean the death of everything, except what Allah wills. And the second blowing will be the blowing of the horn for the resurrection and for the people to rise up from their graves. Are there any quick points of clarification? No, the kafirs will die. They'll die. If Allah wills anyone should not die, then as Allah wills. Whoever Allah wills, if Allah willed, Jibreel, for example, or the angel of death, if Allah willed, whoever He wills, and we don't know who Allah wills, will not die. We don't know. Allahu A'lam. I mean, everything is by the will of Allah. If Allah wills, everything will die. If Allah wills, there'll be exceptions to that, as Allah wills. Al-Ma'arij. As for the ayah from Surah Al-Ma'arij, ayah 43, يَوْمَ يَخْرُجُونَ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ سِرَاعًا كَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَى نُصُبٍ يُوفِضُونَ.